Well, this is day two of broadcasting live from the Marvin M. Schwamm Retreat and Conference Center here at a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar in Trago, Wisconsin. We are coming to you live this Thursday, the 26th of June. 3 hours of good guests ahead for you. We're going to be kind of following a thread throughout these 3 hours of issues, et cetera, the thread being educating the laity, the state of the church from the layperson's perspective. A good number of the attendees at this Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar are lay people from around the country, and we're going to be talking about their perspective and why it is important that the laity be educated. In the first half hour of Issues Etc., we're going to spend some time talking with Pastor David Thompson. He is chaplain and program director for the Schwamm Center. Get a little information on this Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. In the second half hour, Dan Bruss, who is president of Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota, will join us to talk about the state of higher education and then narrow it down to the state of Christian education, higher education. In the second hour of the program, a roundtable with some lay people, attendees here at the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar at the Schwamm Center. We're going to be talking to them about the state of the church from the layperson's perspective. We'll have a group of about six or eight who will join us here around the table in the second hour of the program. The third hour, Craig Parton, who is at present in the next room presenting on apologetics, presenting on defending the Christian worldview, he'll be joining us for the third hour of the program. He's an attorney in Santa Barbara, California, an international human rights lawyer, a former staff member for Campus Crusade for Christ, and author of several books, including his latest, which will be the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, called The Defense Never Rests. We'll talk with him about modern-day pietism in the third hour of Issues Etc. today. You should feel free to call us with a question or a comment anytime during these 3 hours. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our guest in the first hour here for the first 25 minutes, Pastor David Thompson. Welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a great pleasure.
If you'd move on your mic just a little bit there so we can hear you a little better. Tell us your story. You haven't always been a Lutheran pastor.
That's correct. Actually, I grew up in the LCA. As a child, and
the Lutheran Church of America.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And while I was there, I was basically taught no theology. And so by the end of my high school career, I ended up being an agnostic. And the interesting story is that God led me to Bethany Lutheran College, a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. And it was there that I was actually reintroduced to confessional and biblical Christianity, and shown that agnosticism was not where it was at.
So the compromised liberal theology, kind of the what has later become the mainline liberal wing of Lutheranism in America, really robbed you of your faith. You did not find anything in there that nurtured your faith.
Absolutely. In fact, none of my parents knew what was going on, because it wasn't until years later that I told my parents that I actually learned nothing in confirmation class. And they asked me, you mean you didn't have to memorize even the 23rd Psalm or anything? I said, no, absolutely nothing. So my parents were in the dark, too, as regarding my education at this liberal Lutheran institution.
We are broadcasting from a Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar here at the Schwamm Center. To kind of set the context for this, how would you define a Christian worldview?
Well, a Christian worldview, it's very closely related to the concept of doctrine, Christian doctrine. It's perhaps slightly different, but it's basically how does a Christian view the world? And by the world, we just don't mean the things that are out there in the physical world, but also humanity itself, knowledge, arts, culture, how we know what we know, etc. And so it really encompasses a huge variety of things. And it's very similar in that way to doctrine also, though, teachings.
So you cannot possess a confessional Christian worldview apart from understanding what the Christian faith itself is. The two are connected to one another.
Very closely connected.
All right. Tell us about the Worldview Seminar. Give us just a general picture of what's going on here in this entire week of presentations of gathering together as Christians. It's a mix of lay people and pastors as well. Tell us about what's been going on here. Yeah.
Let me go back and tell you a little bit more about my background and why I have an interest in the concept of worldview and apologetics, and then I'll explain that specific question. When I went off to Bethany Lutheran College as an agnostic, one of the first courses I took was called The Case for Christianity, obviously an apologetics course, and it was actually taught by one of our presenters here, Professor Alan Quist. And at that point, all of us in the class were challenged, so to speak, to consider the truth claims of Christianity, especially the truth claims of who Jesus Christ was and is, and why he came and what he did, and why he did what he did. And after that time, when I was reintroduced to the true gospel of Christianity, and God, through his word, brought me to believe in Christ again, I also took an interest in worldviews and how they, many of them, in some way or another, would conflict with the Christian worldview. And I read a number of the works of Francis Schaeffer, and I went to hear him speak, and I heard John Warwick Montgomery speak and read some of his works too. And so I've always had a great interest in both apologetics and the concept of worldviews. And thus, when I was called here through the Regents of Bethany Lutheran College to be the chaplain and program director, I thought, boy, this would be a great place to have a worldview seminar and bring in those speakers and presenters who have a vast amount of knowledge regarding not only Christian doctrine and the Christian worldview, but who also understand the different worldviews that are being presented here that are, in fact, in conflict with Christianity. And so we set up the conference probably about seven months ago, started working on it back then, and we were very, very fortunate to bring in some of the best experts on these various topics that could be found.
And I think you have, as our audience is probably aware of the fact, since we've spent some time in the last couple of days talking with them, as well as several of them have been guests on the program before. Just in terms of the facility here, we talk about the Schwann Center up here in beautiful the North Woods of northern Wisconsin. Paint a picture for those who are listening to us of the facility here. It is a gorgeous place. I've said several times to my producer, whoever paid for this spared no expense. So tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it was about 5-6 years ago when the president of Bethany Lutheran College, Marvin Meyer, said to himself and said to the staff, I would really love to have a retreat center for the college. And so he sent his right-hand man out to look around, and he happened to stumble upon this piece of property here. With the help of the Schwann Foundation, Bethany bought the place and built the buildings and renovated it. And it's an absolutely gorgeous piece of property. If heaven on earth could be created, it'd probably be right here.
As someone who was raised in the deep south, unaccustomed to the pine trees, unaccustomed to the rolling hills and beautiful lakes about every 15 feet, it is a gorgeous place. And actually, the weather's not too bad either. The facilities themselves, if you just give a brief outline, what can you accommodate here?
Well, we have three different what we call villages. We have five cottages or cabins. Those were here originally, and they're overlooking one of our two private lakes on the property. And very nice cabins with wood fireplaces. They sleep six and a lot of solitude. And then our another village we have here is what we call our Eagle Lodge Village, which consists of a rather large lodge with many meeting rooms, especially helpful for corporations and businesses that like to meet up here. But that lodge also has an excellent dining room, a boardroom. And attached to or closely connected to the lodge itself at our Eagle Lodge are two hotel wings and wonderful hotel rooms. We have 32 hotel rooms. It would be like a four-star quality hotel. And then our third village is what we call the Pine Village, where we're sitting right now. And the Pine Village consists of a very nice lodge and also five duplexes. And those duplexes hold 28 people each, or a lot of times we have family reunions and other sorts of reunions, youth camps, other church groups, college groups meeting down here at the Pine Village and using the duplexes for their place of residence while they're here.
What are your hopes for the future, coming back to the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, what are your hopes for the future of, this is the beginning that's been made, it's the beginning well made, what are your hopes for the future for the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminars?
Well, the unfortunate thing is that Confessional Lutherans, I think, have been behind the times a little bit when it comes to holding these kinds of conferences, because you have a lot of evangelical and reform groups out there that are holding worldview conferences, and I have to commend them for that. And to a large degree, they do a wonderful job. But on the downside, they don't have the good, sound, deep confessional theology that we have and that we can present at such conferences. And so our hope is that this particular one-week event will always be an annual event, and we'll change it from time to time, and we'll add to it, and we expect about at least twice as many people here, I believe, next year, and it's going great right now. The participants just love what's taking place here, and they're learning a lot. But also, besides the annual week-long worldview seminar, we hope to be establishing and developing two other kinds of worldview seminars. One will be geared specifically for young adults and college students, and that will take place, I think it's the first full weekend in January this coming year, 2004, just before the second semester begins for most college students. And so we're especially going to encourage students from the confessional Lutheran colleges and universities to attend, because it will be geared for them. But what we also want to do is have a summer institute for younger people, teenagers, and probably also college students, perhaps like 4 days long, because they are the future of the church. And it's those people right now who are being influenced by particular worldviews that very often are in conflict with their Christian faith, and they don't even know it. And so it's very incumbent upon us to explain to them what Satan is doing with certain worldviews, trying to draw them away from the Christian faith. And so those are several things we hope to be doing in terms of worldviews.
We're talking in this first 25 minutes of the program with Pastor David Thompson. He's the chaplain and program director for the Schwann Center. We're talking about this Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, from which we are broadcasting live this Thursday, June the 26th. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. There's a cross-section of Lutheran backgrounds here. My producer and I are have some company here with several Lutheran Church Missouri Synod pastors and lay people. There are people here from the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, people here from the Wisconsin Synod, some people from even outside that. Tell us about the cross-section.
We have quite a few here from the Missouri Synod. Mm-hmm. And as you know, I'm of the ELS, Evangelical Lutheran Synod, of a different fellowship. We're in fellowship with the Wisconsin Synod. At the same time, when we were trying to figure out who would present here, we said to ourselves, you know, we have to have people who know the stuff, who have the knowledge regarding the specific area we're going to ask them to speak on. So, for example, we had contact with Gene Edward Veith. I know you've had him on the show here. And Veith was hoping to come, but he had a prior commitment down in Australia. So he recommended his colleague, Angus Menyush, who said, knows the materials as well as he does regarding postmodernism. And Menyush also has a very good knowledge of Darwinism. And so this was a great fit for us. And so our first criteria was to make sure we bring in presenters who know the material. And we're conducting this along the lines of a free conference, where we don't engage in actual fellowship practices, mm-hmm. but we bring people in here to talk about theology, talk about worldviews, and so our hope is not only people will gain in an understanding of the worldviews and Christian doctrine, but so that we can also engage in discussions with one another outside of the church fellowship, so that eventually, maybe somewhere down the road, there will be a greater unification of confessional Lutherans.
So this is also about theological dialogue. This is about after the official sessions each evening, there's a big, literal big round discussion, too big round to put a table in the middle of it, where some of the issues are rehashed. I noticed there's also a mix of lay people and ordained clergy. Tell us about that.
Yeah, when we were thinking about having this, we said, well, who do we want to invite? Do we want to just pick on a particular group? And we said, no, let's open up to everybody and basically see how it goes. And so I was a little concerned about that because we do have people like Pastor Jay Weber, who was an encyclopedia when it comes to understanding confessional Lutheranism and how it connects to history. And on the other hand, we have lay people here who have a limited knowledge and have not known very much at all about Christian worldviews. And I was just talking to one of our participants earlier today, and she told me she didn't even know there was a Book of Concord until she came here. But she is very, very interested in reading it now, and she will, because I know who she is, and she loves to read. So I was a little concerned whether or not it would be too difficult for some people to grasp and maybe too simple so that others might get bored. And the good news is that we're presenting a lot of deep, heavy theological material. But it's something that everybody can glean from and benefit from. In fact, one of the best things, as you pointed out, is these what we're now starting to call table talks. At the end of the day, at 7 o'clock each evening, we get in a big, huge circle. And like Luther's table talks, we just throw out questions and comments, and then we ask the presenter of the day especially to comment and provide a depth of knowledge. And this has been fascinating to listen to these and participate in these, because this is where the rubber hits the road, where the lay people and others have these questions and concerns. And the experts here and the pastors here can lend their best knowledge to the questions.
It sounds very much like what we try to do, you know, 14, now 16 hours a week on issues, et cetera. We're trying to deal, stay in the depth of theology, address, engage the world as it presents itself to us, and yet do it in such a way so that whether one has a little theological knowledge or a lot of theological knowledge, they're still able to wade in and find their place in the conversation. And I think you've been rather successful at it. Another thing that we try to do that I sense here is that trying to break this myth, dispel this myth that lay people, non-professional theologians, because everyone's a theologian, can't learn theology or don't want to learn theology. Has this gone some way toward dispelling that myth for you, that lay people aren't interested in real theology?
Well, I don't know what the rest of the laity is like in the Christian churches, but the laity that are here are a tremendous testimony to the fact that they love the Word of God, not on a surface level, but at a much deeper level. And many of them have come here very well read and have simply yearned for more knowledge and more understanding. And those who aren't that well read still have indicated a deep interest in what's being presented here. And, it, you know, like you pointed out, we have not only confessional Lutherans here, but we also have some non-Lutherans here too. And it has been a tremendous, in my opinion, benefit for them, because they are now hearing a different kind of theology that they haven't heard before. And they're realizing that confessional Lutheran theology is not just certain confessions or creeds that men have invented, but these creeds and confessions we have their source in Scripture alone. And so they're taking an interest now in Lutheran theology that they didn't before. And so it's really fun to see that also.
You talked a little bit before about your personal reasons for wanting to pursue a worldview seminar, dealing with a worldview seminar. You talked about others are doing this, but they're doing this with less theological depth, less grounding in the Word of God. More generally, as you look at the state of the church today, not only in Reformation circles, but even outside, why is it important that the average Christian understand not only the Christian worldview, but also understand all of the competing worldviews that exist and vie for our attention and our allegiance out there?
Let me give you a good example of that. When I was the Dean of Students and Professor at Bethany Lutheran College, I received a phone call one day from a former student who was then attending a state university in Minnesota. And I asked her how things were going, and she said, well, things were rather difficult for a while, but they're getting a lot better right now. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, when I first came to the university, I was being taught things that were in conflict with what I had learned about family growing up. She was in some sort of sociology program at the university. And I said, well, tell me why it's gotten better for you now. She said, well, the reason it's gotten better was because when I first arrived at the university, they had me take an assessment to figure out my thinking. And the assessment came back, and it told me that my thinking was too narrow and that I really need to broaden my thinking about family and other issues. And the sad thing is that this student believed the assessment and believed her professors. What she didn't realize was that she was buying into a worldview, a postmodern worldview, that was greatly undermining her Christian faith, undermining her understanding of family, which is explained in Scripture, undermining the concept of absolute truth. And again, unbeknownst to her, Satan was whittling away at her faith. And that's why it is so important for people to understand worldviews, because they are, in fact, so often, in so many ways, in conflict with biblical confessional Christianity. And they can, and this is how Satan has always worked. You know, Paul talks about those philosophies which are hollow and deceptive, and says, see to it that no one takes you captive through these hollow and deceptive philosophies which depend upon the traditions of men rather than on Christ. And so that's what we're trying to help people do here, understand these hollow and deceptive philosophies which undermine Christianity.
Finally, with less than a minute before we have to go, why is it important that the laity in particular continue in their education, as you began by saying, in the doctrine of the Christian faith?
Well, one of the unique features of confessional Lutheran theology and biblical theology is the priesthood of all believers. The priesthood of all believers means that we are clean in the sight of God through faith in Christ. We can come into the presence of God, forgiven of all our sins. But it also means that we, therefore, as Christians, have responsibilities. We have the responsibility to sacrifice our lives in a spiritual way to the glory of Christ. It means that we are to pray to others. It means that we are to talk to others. It includes a responsibility of understanding what the Word of God says. And so because of the priesthood of all believers, all Christians have a responsibility to know God's Word and to speak God's Word to others. And so, again, that is one of the purposes of this seminar.
Thank you very much, Pastor David Thompson, for being our guest on Issues, Etc. And thank you for letting us be a part of the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar here at the Schwann Center.
Thank you, Todd. We appreciate you being here.
Folks, if you'd like information on next year's Worldview Seminar, here's the number for the Schwann Center, 1-800-577-4848. 1-800-577-4848. They also have a website you can visit for general information, and as that Worldview Seminar approaches, more specific information on the seminar for next year. It's schwanncenter.org. Schwann is spelled S-C-H-W-A-N, schwanncenter.org. And I'd like to thank everybody who's involved with the Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar, the attendees and the presenters for being so accommodating to us here at Issues, Etc. In the next 25 minutes of the program, Dan Bruss, we're going to be talking about higher education. He's president of Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
The pressure to compromise your ethics in business can come from almost every direction: your employer, your employees, or your customers. God never promises financial success to the ethical businessman, but do good ethics make for good business? In our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, you'll find out why ethical compromise isn't necessary in business. Order your copy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours at 1-800-325-3040. The book is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. Or order the book online at our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, you'll find information on the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace, 1-800-325-3040. issuesetc.org.
Now this Global Minute focuses prayer on people who live near rebels from another republic, have lived through their own civil wars, and they speak many different languages. There's a man who has a passion to share Christ. It's in the Republic of Georgia. A Christian serving with Operation Mobilization sees the Georgian Republic as strategic since it straddles between Turkey and Russia, and there are pockets of different ethnic groups who still need to hear about Christ. There are 10,000 Chechen refugees from neighboring Chechnya and another 35,000 Sevan who live in Georgia's western mountains. The Operation Mobilization missionary can't have his identity revealed, but his passion is to share Christ with unreached people. Pray for the unreached people who live in the Republic of Georgia. Pray for unreached people by logging on to the website missionvisionnetwork.org. That's missionvisionnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Meyer Minute. When a married man named David Helsel went to a chiropractor named Sivi Nelsh, the moves were not only chiropractic. David divorced his wife in order to marry the chiropractor. More than a little put out, his former wife sued the chiropractor for alienation of affection. Recently, the Missouri Supreme Court ruled that alienation of affection is an outdated concept. Yeah, right. Why should a court pass judgment on anyone's personal love life? After all, isn't marriage a private affair? Or is it? Why does the government issue licenses for things like cars and guns and liquor sales? Because those things affect society's well-being. The stability of our society also requires lasting marriages. Hence, the government issues licenses for marriage. Historically, the government has made divorce a slow process, trying to keep a marriage together. Now we're told that alienation of affection isn't society's concern. Tell that to the heartbroken spouse. Tell that to the children of divorce. Tell that to the one who said, "What God has joined together, let no one put asunder."
When we know that underneath us are the everlasting arms of God, not just the shepherd, not just the healer, not just a caretaker, but the Savior who has rescued us from the very threat of sin and death in our lives and destroyed the power of the evil one, there is no way that we need fear.
Hear Pastor Ron Rall this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Sundays at 12:30 and 5 p.m.
We are nearing the end of the month of June, and that leaves me just a few days to continue to tell you about the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. It's written by a theologian, it's written by a businessman and a professor at the business school, in fact, at the business school at Washington University there in St. Louis. We've been talking about this book a lot. We've been going over it from every different angle. Christian Ethics in the Workplace is one of those kind of practical guides for people who in their everyday life, in their Christian vocation, face the ethical dilemmas that all of us face throughout life, but they face it in a way where their job might be on the line or the profits might be on the line. That's why we want to recommend this book again to you, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. It's the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Christian Ethics in the Workplace. Now, you can have the book for yourself by calling Concordia Publishing House in the next hour and a half, about the next 90 minutes, at 1-800-325-3040. If you can't call today, call any day, weekday, during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and when you do, you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June called Christian Ethics in the Workplace. For the next 20 minutes or so, we're going to be spending the remainder of this first hour talking with Dr. Dan Bruss. He is president of Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. They are associated with the Schwann Center here, and he is one of the attendees here for the last several days of this Confessional Christian Worldview Seminar. We're going to be talking about the current state of higher education generally and the current state of Christian higher education for the next 20 minutes of the program. Our phone numbers are 505-7850. or 1-800-730-2727. Dr. Bruss, welcome to Issues Etc.
Good afternoon, Todd. Thank you for having me.
How long have you been associated with Bethany Lutheran College? And tell us a little bit about the college itself.
Well, this is actually now the third time that I've been part of the Bethany Lutheran College community. I came as a student, I won't say how many years ago, but quite a few years ago, as a college freshman. And then soon after I completed my initial studies, and I came back as an instructor for 6 years. And then there was about a 20-year hiatus, and now I'm back as of January 1 as president of Bethany Lutheran College.
Tell us about Bethany Lutheran College.
Well, let's see. It's owned and operated by the Evangelical Lutheran Synod. This last year, in 2002, we celebrated our 75th anniversary. So we're closing in now on the 100-year landmark. And it's from its inception, it has been a liberal arts institution. For the vast majority of that time, it was a two-year school. And about 7-8 years ago, the Board of Regents gave us approval to begin offering baccalaureate programs. And so we're in sort of a transitional phase right now, actually.
When you say liberal arts, I think that term has so sadly gone out of our currency, the way we talk about education. What do you mean when you say a liberal arts education?
We're interested in what I'm going to call it a broad education, so that people that graduate from Bethany have a basic understanding of the arts and the sciences, the humanities, things like that. I think in a more traditional liberal arts sense.
So educating a well-rounded Christian layperson,
absolutely,
wherever they're going to go in life.
Absolutely. It really hinges on the historical notion of vocation that's familiar to Lutherans. Now, not vocationalism, but the historical notion of vocation.
Define that a little bit for our listeners.
That would imply talking about what an individual will do for probably the majority of their life, their life's calling.
So be they a stay-at-home mom, be they
absolutely
a doctor, a lawyer,
yep.
Truck driver,
yep.
You are trying to, at least as far as education can do, form a well-rounded Christian.
That's right. We're very deliberate about integrating confessional Lutheranism into whatever vocation they're planning to pursue.
Let's talk about the state of higher education in general. I mean, that's a huge topic.
Yeah, you're right.
How would you assess it, especially newly come to the president of Bethany Lutheran College? How would you assess the state of higher education in general?
Well, I should probably narrow it down a little bit. You're right. It is a very broad topic. And since Bethany only offers baccalaureate degrees, we'll talk strictly about undergraduate education. Right now, it's a tough time in American higher education in general, primarily because of the economic situation that's going on. I don't think there is a state around that has not felt the economic impact in the last few years. And so budgets are cut. I don't think you can find a state where that's not the case. So most schools, primarily public, but even to some degree privates, are suffering from some of those economic fallout that's occurred. It's become extremely competitive in that environment also. There's a lot of different things going on out there, from distance learning to, I talked about vocationalism, that sort of thing. There's a lot of activity out there right now.
And as a Christian educational institution, higher educational institution, amidst just a vast sea of secular higher education,
right,
what are the particular challenges there?
I don't see them so much as challenges as I do opportunities. I sort of view us as providing an oasis from all of that, because as a society we have moved so much in the direction of secularism, and we provide opportunities that are very different from that.
Do you find yourself, we talked just in the last 25 minutes about why it's important that lay people have an understanding of worldviews.
Right.
And our the guest in the last hour, Pastor Thompson, talked about a young lady who came to a secular university and found herself at odds, being kind of labeled as too narrow thinking, found herself at odds with what she was going to be taught there. Do you find the opposite also to be true? Young people who come to Bethany Lutheran College, to a Christian higher education institution, do you find yourself having to do some remedial Christian education with some of the students in order to kind of reincorporate them into a Christian worldview?
I don't know if it's so much remedial. You know, when they come as 18-year-olds, they don't have a whole... their worldview isn't very well shaped at that point. As a matter of fact, because of sort of the multiculturalistic environment that our society is in now, it is during those formative years of higher education that people think that that worldview is actually going to become established, which is actually different than what it was probably a generation ago, where people came with, probably a better set of beliefs.
So you're really finding, at least in terms of their general outlook on life, the young people who come into Christian higher education are more or less blank slates, or at the very least, nothing definitive is written there yet.
Yeah, I don't want to go quite that far, because we make it very clear from the outset as we recruit students, our missions department, that we are indeed a Christian confessional Lutheran liberal arts institution. So we already have a group of students that's sort of a subset of our society. So it's a little bit different than that.
What particular temptations are there where it seems as though the direction of higher education in general is headed more and more toward a postmodern worldview, where there are no rights and wrongs, there is no truth and falsehood? What particular temptations are there for Christian higher education?
There's huge temptation. There are a lot of institutions of higher learning in this country that are, for a lack of better terminology, church-related, and I would say are very loosely church-related and have embraced a lot of the tenets that you see in our current society, our secular society, and as a result move more and more in that direction, and there's very, at best, it's maybe some religiosity on campus, not very much deliberate teaching of Scripture.
My younger brother attended Texas Christian University, which in a very peripheral way is connected to Church of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I discovered on talking with him during his college education that there was little to none emphasis on anything distinctly Christian. That university viewed itself almost entirely as a secular university, although they continued to go by the name mm-hmm. Texas Christian University. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of the picture you're painting here?
There's a lot of schools like that. I don't know anything about TCU, mm-hmm. but I do know a number of schools that actually just recently were still closely connected with the church that have moved more in that direction, and I would say are secularly oriented.
In the process of state accreditation at the higher education level, are there also temptations presented there that in order to meet the standards that the state has set, that the government has set, you might have to be or might be tempted to compromise as an institution of Christian higher education?
We haven't seen that as an issue to date. That's not to say that that may not happen in the future, but right now at this point we haven't had any problems with that.
What about the curriculum? How is, to the parent who's out there who's saying, look, I got a kid who's going to be ready for college in a couple years, and they've had a decent education at home in a Christian home, mm-hmm. and I'm not so sure I want to send them off to just any old university. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To that parent, what's different about the curriculum in a Christian institution of higher education as opposed to any old university?
Yeah, that's a really important question, because distinction has become a very important issue in higher ed. As I mentioned earlier, higher education is extremely competitive today, and so and it's also very costly overall. So parents and prospective students and future employers are all very interested in understanding what sort of distinctive features an institution has. So that's a critical question.
What is different about the curriculum there? I mean, you're going to be teaching the same subjects, core subjects, but what's different about those in particular?
Yeah, right. Well, as I mentioned earlier, a lot of the schools that I would say are just sort of church-related. You identified one of them before, but those sorts of institutions don't deliberately try to integrate Christian faith with learning, and that's something we take very seriously at Bethany.
So it is that the instructors, the professors, are confessing Christians, mm-hmm. that the Christian, they are free to express the tenets of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
They're free to respond to the things that are being taught in that they may even be teaching from the perspective of Christians.
Yeah, right, and we actively encourage them to do that and to engage students in that. Not just in the classroom, but throughout, you know, whether it's things outside the curriculum or outside of the classroom, all of those things we encourage them.
We're talking with Dr. Dan Bruss. He is president of Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota, and we're talking about the current state of higher education and higher Christian education as well. Our phone numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. I am the product of Lutheran parochial school, mm-hmm. from kindergarten almost as far as one can go, all the way through parochial school, through junior high school, college, and then seminary, and then a few years of graduate school past that. And one thing I discovered going to a Christian college, one that was still at the time quite closely uh-huh. associated with the Christian confession, was that college life was college life mm-hmm. in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. You talked about outside the classroom.
Right.
You do have college students on your hands.
Oh, we absolutely do. Right.
How do you integrate a Christian ethos, mm-hmm. The Christian content of the faith,
right.
into the life of 18, 19, 20-year-olds
right.
who are, after all, college students?
Yeah, right, exactly. One of the things we have to keep in mind, and this came up in one of the talks here in the last couple of days, we were talking a little bit about sanctification and the view that evangelicalism has about sanctification. We have to remember that we are indeed all sinners. As much as we don't want to admit it, that is indeed the case. And so whether you're 18 years old or 80 years old, that is indeed the fact. That doesn't mean that we can excuse it or take it lightly. We have to be active with it. And so there are several things that we do formally. For example, we have a deliberate time every day, Monday through Friday, for chapel. We've done that for years, to give people a time to be able to be refreshed by God's Word. I mentioned that there are things in the classroom and topics come up that we encourage our instructors to talk about the way a Christian would approach some of those things. We also have a number of other things that we offer people, whether it's seminars on a weekend or an evening or Bible studies, things like that. So we try to do as much as we can, and frankly, we need to do more.
But you could never do enough.
Satan is always at work, and so we need to do more.
One of the other dangers on the other side, you know, apart from a Christian higher education institution just becoming nominally associated with the Christian faith, the other danger might be kind of the ghettoization
sure.
of a Christian.
Right.
In other words, cutting the students and the faculty off
right.
from life in the real world. How
yep.
do you avoid that?
That can be a difficulty. You know, I think it's important for us certainly to remember that we are in the world, not part of it. But I think one of the speakers that we had here yesterday talked about, if you want to understand an issue, you need to take a look at what the people that espouse that particular issue that's contrary to Christianity, for example. You need to be able to read that or hear about it or interact with it. And so it's important that we actively engage ourselves in a way so that we don't become a ghetto, because that it's no different than somebody who studies abroad, for example. It's easy to be able to become cloistered with those that are like-minded, not really get to see the outside world. And so we have to be active to avoid that.
So you are aiming at a faculty and a student body that are well-read outside Christian circles, that are well-rounded in their knowledge of the world and other perspectives,
right.
and yet still grounded.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Right.
It seems as though an 18-year-old of 50 years ago heading off to the university with probably less seasoned in the ways of the world but more mature as a young adult than they are today. Now the 18-year-old who's going off to college is very well acquainted with the ways of the world, but perhaps emotionally, psychologically less mature than maybe their parents were when they went off to college. Does that present another challenge when you really are, I don't want to demean this, but you are in some sense babysitting a lot of parents' kids for 4 years?
We would hope that we're not babysitting kids, but I understand what you mean by that. I mean, I think our educational system, at least public educational system, has moved in, certainly in that direction over the years. And you're right. I mean, with the availability of information via the internet, for example, at somebody's fingertips instantly, is very different than what it was even just a few years ago. So I think we have to be able to adapt to that. I suspect Christian higher education has had to adapt through the ages, and it does present a little different set of challenges, and we have to be able to address those things directly.
Why does someone might say, "Look, we should just leave the education to privately owned institutions or to the public institutions"? Why do Christian congregations, why does the church still need to support education of young people, not only in the primary grades or in high school, but all the way to the end of the college education? Why is that important?
Well, education is a continuous process. It doesn't end at any given point in time. And so really throughout life, you're continually being educated. Really during the years of, I'm going to say, sort of traditional age college students, those are indeed very formative years. I alluded before that now more than ever, that's the point at which they're going to formulate their worldview. And knowing what it's like being out in the world, it's even more critical today to have a solid Christian foundation and framework to help develop those things. At Bethany, we've been using the phrase that Bethany is an education that lasts beyond a lifetime. And we've had people call. Not too long ago, there was somebody who called and said, "What do you mean beyond a lifetime? I mean, the end of life, that's it." Well, obviously, they didn't get it. But there are precious few places that take that seriously, and that really is what we're trying to do, is to educate them not just for what they're doing in this life and to be good stewards of the talents that they have, but to prepare them for the next life.
I'm assuming, I mean, very few people actually go through a Christian university and then go into particular church work.
Right.
Most of them go out into regular vocations. Mm-hmm. How important is it that a layperson not only get a good education, just the basics of a liberal arts education,
right,
but be well catechized in the Christian faith? If all they're going to do, and I don't mean to demean this, but if what they're going to do is, say, be a stay-at-home mom or just go ahead and work in accounting or something like that, why do they need not only the education but also to be catechized as a Christian?
We all need to be witnesses. And if you're going to be an effective witness, you need to understand and be confident in what you believe and to be able to articulate that to those around you, to be able to bring those fellow workers to Christ and to be witnesses. And so it's absolutely essential for all Christians to do that, so that both in the workplace and certainly in congregations, you have very strong leaders who are well-equipped.
What do you see as the future of Christian higher education?
I think we're going to have to become even more deliberate, more focused in this area, because we're going to be bombarded even more with secularism. So it'll be incumbent on us to make sure that we are able to continue to train. And frankly, in confessional Lutheran circles, I think it's absolutely important for us to provide people who are highly qualified, highly trained in a variety of areas, so that we can speak with a confessional Lutheran voice, whether it's theology or technology or whatever it is, to be able to bring that.
What do you say to someone who says, "Look, you can't do both at the same time as well as you need to. If I really want my kid to get a good education, I'm going to send him off to the best university, because if I send him off to an institution of higher education that is Christian and explicitly Christian, they're going to have to forfeit some of the classroom time talking about Christ. I'm not against that, but I want them to have a good education. How do you respond to someone who says that you have to scrimp on the education in order to also have the Christian catechesis in the classroom?
No, that's the first time I've heard that argument. But I think for us, in a quantifiable sort of way, our graduation requirements are a little bit higher than traditional to accommodate that a little bit. But as I suspect you know from your experience in school and those that have been friends of yours, there's plenty of room for additional kinds of things. And so I don't see any reason why they have to scrimp on the education. We want to take that very seriously, and as an added value, then we want to be able to encourage also the Christian training.
Dr. Dan Bruss, thank you very much for being our guest on Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much for having me.
Dr. Dan Bruss is president of Bethany Lutheran College in Mankato, Minnesota. We've been talking about higher education and Christian higher education. You know, I think everyone understands by now the value of education in general, to know your stuff. Whether you're going to drive a truck or you're going to go to medical school or law school, whether you're going to church work or just stay at home as a mother and raise your kids, to be educated is important to be a well-rounded individual, a well-rounded human being. We benefit in this country from, really, in a lot of ways, the financial and the cultural privilege of not only valuing education, but being encouraged, at least still at this point, to pursue education. I think the church holds a unique place here, that the church has always understood the human being to be at his best when he is well-rounded, not only when he understands the Word of God to the best of his ability, but that when he understands the world around him, the task before him, and the general knowledge that's been passed down to us from history, mathematics, science, and the other liberal arts, to the best of his ability. There is a sense in which, regardless of what you're going to do in your life, it is part and parcel of doing all that you do unto the Lord and doing it to the best of your ability to pursue that education, so that we're able to converse with the world around us, so that we are able to be the witness that can engage the world and its ideas, not to be befuddled by them or confused by them or to be ignorant of them, but to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the heart and center of our Christian faith, to that world in an intelligent way. In the next hour, we'll be talking with a roundtable of lay people about the state of the church.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.